Hi, I'm Mark from Pure Energy Meditation, and this is video blog number three. And in these video blogs, what I'm doing is I'm answering questions from people who I teach meditation to, as well as people that contact me, for example, on YouTube, on my website, which is the best way to get in touch with me, and also people that I Skype and speak to on the phone. So this question is one that I get in lots of different ways, but it's generally around the same theme, and it's the question of, how do I still my mind? Or it's kind of like the question that people ask when they're learning to meditate. Am I doing it right? My mind doesn't seem to be still. I've got thoughts happening. This kind of theme of question, but it's around the idea of stilling the mind. And what I wanted to do is kind of debunk a big myth about the whole mind thing and stilling the mind, and give it some perspective from the point of view of having meditated from a complete beginner through breath meditation, mantra, mandala, and lots of other forms of lower meditation. And if you want to know more about the kind of lower vehicles, the lower levels of meditation, then there's the first video I did, which you can kind of click here or here. There's a link on YouTube, and you can find out more about that. But basically, from that perspective, and then moving through to higher forms of meditation, advanced or higher light and sound meditation, which again I cover on the first video, with that kind of range of meditative experience, the whole insight and awareness of what the mind is shifts. So you start very much from working with your mind, within your mind, to being able to transcend your mind and see it from a much more detached perspective. And what's very interesting is in meditation, this isn't ideas or philosophy or belief, this is real stuff. So when you meditate, you actually have an opportunity to experience these things firsthand. Obviously, you're going to filter it through your own personality. So two people could have a very similar experience, but what you take from it is what you're able to take from it, depending on where you are now in your journey and your whole makeup in terms of how you literally communicate with yourself. But the essence of the realizations will be the same for everyone who makes those realizations. So you can have realizations about the nature of the mind that are nothing to do with the mind. In other words, you're not thinking the realizations, you're not imagining them, you're not reasoning them or using logic. This is much, much kind of purer way of understanding things. And it's like the analogy of what's it like to ride a horse? Well, you can read a book about riding a horse, you can talk to people who've ridden a horse, or you can ride a horse. So reading a book about it or talking to someone else about it is not your own experience, but it will give you an insight or an idea of what it's like. But the only way you're going to know for yourself is to ride a horse. And in the same way, the only way you're going to find out what the mind really is to go through the progression of a meditative journey to fully explore the mind from different perspectives, from within the mind, from below the mind, from beyond the mind. And it's real and it really is possible. And so, with that kind of broad perspective, what I'm going to try and do is share with you guys my understanding of what the mind is, and also kind of maybe just remove the shackles of the expectation that, I'm a meditator and therefore I must still the mind, because people really give themselves a hard time over this one, especially when you're learning. Until you've kind of got to a certain point in your meditation where you're able to access much higher forms of energy, there's nowhere you can be that your mind isn't involved. Therefore, if you think it needs to be still, then you're setting yourself up to be disappointed and frustrated in your meditation. So straight away, let's just debunk the myth that you must still your mind. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use an analogy. Your mind is like an ocean, and in that ocean are lots of fish and lobsters and octopuses and all kinds of crazy fancy animals that naturally are there, and they've all got slightly different forms, and they've all got slightly different ways of moving and colors. And even if you have two fish the same, they're not identical because one's here and one's there. You get the idea. There's lots of fish and animals in this ocean. Now, the mind is like the ocean, and the fish and the animals are like the thoughts. So some thoughts stick together with other kinds of thoughts. Some thoughts, when they arrive, all the other thoughts disappear. you can see how it's, you know, like a big predator comes in, a big strong thought comes in, you focus on that, all the little thoughts disappear. But there's always going to be fish, and there's always going to be other animals in the ocean. And trying to still the mind is like saying, okay, for me to meditate, I need to take all these fish and all these animals out of the ocean so that wherever I look, I don't see anything and I'm not distracted. Well, number one, if the ocean represents the total kind of mindscape, or the plane of consciousness known as mind, where are you going to put thoughts outside of that? Because thoughts exist at that level because they vibrate at the same level. So you can't put them on a higher level because they're not fast enough to be on that level. And you can't move them onto a lower level like the astral or emotional level because that's not where they belong. So thoughts as structures exist on the thought plane or on the mind plane. It's as simple as that. So you can't take them away from the mind to create, you know, stillness. Similarly, you can't make them still, because these thoughts, and you can literally have this experience in meditation, these thoughts, they have a geometry and they have a form, and they literally kind of move around. And so your mind is where you locate within this kind of cloud of potential in this thought plane. So your thoughts attract other thoughts that are similar, and your language and all these things coagulate together to form a mind. And new thoughts can come in and old thoughts can go, and then you can bring them back and you can remember. And, you know, your mind isn't working in isolation. It's getting feedback and communication both ways from above and from below. But basically, you've got like a cloud of thought. Now, you can't ask all those thoughts, everyone, you know, stop moving. It doesn't work like that. Their nature is movement. Their nature is to have an edge, and their nature is to have a form. So, you know, to make a very simple kind of description, it's like some thoughts are solid and hard. Other thoughts are a bit more malleable and soft, or some are jagged and sharp, and some are rounded and smooth. They've all got different qualities, but one thing they all share is that they all exist at a point in time, and they all have movement. They all interact, and you can't have two thoughts in the same place, because you can't have two thoughts simultaneously. So much like objects on the physical world, you know, their nature is movement. If you were to kind of fly above a city and watch cars moving around the whole road network, you couldn't say, right, everybody stop. It's not going to happen, because the whole nature of the road network and the cars is to move things around. It's literally like thoughts moving around, but on a physical level. So with that in mind, you can't make your thoughts still, and you can't move them somewhere else. So where does this idea of, you know, to be a meditator, you must still the mind? Well, where does it come from? It comes from an absolute truth that's been, someone's tried to put into language, and all languages are limited, all words are limited. And so the true meaning has been lost in this phrase. Now, the truth is that you are more than your mind. You can transcend your mind. And by the way, you can't do that with your mind. So no amount of mantra meditation or thinking or affirmations or breath meditation, which is lower down, or mandalas or anything like that is going to take you beyond your mind, because all of those things basically are using the mind in some way, shape or form. But when you have access to higher forms of energy which have nothing to do with the mind, and you start to build an awareness within these vibrations, then you can sit on a vibrational level which is much, much faster than your mind. And from there, you can perceive your mind not from within it, but from a distance. And that's when you get a real perspective on what the mind is. So, you know, I'm talking to you right now, I'm using my mind. As you're sitting there, you're probably having thoughts and you're thinking about what I'm saying. So we're both very much in our minds. From where we are right now, it's very difficult to understand what the mind is, because we're experiencing it. Only when you look from a distance and you see it in its totality, separate from you, i.e. from one of these higher vehicles, one of these higher points of perspective, that you can understand the nature of it. Now, the mind isn't your enemy. It's not fighting you. It's not against you. It's not trying to hold you back. It's not conspiring to create an illusion to keep you trapped, or any of these ideas. It simply has a nature, and its nature is movement. And what you've done for however many years you've been on the planet is you've been practicing focusing through your mind, so it's become second nature. So you've got a very strong identity in your mind. Now, since we can't make it still and we can't move the bits that distract us out of the mind, then what do we do? Well, what we need to do is, in meditation, is to start to practice noticing what else is there. So whatever level you're at, and obviously when you've got access to much faster vibrations, then you can sit there and it becomes a bit easier. But even if you're just starting out and you're on breath, what you can do is, say for example, you're noticing your breath coming in and out. And one of the forms of meditation I teach, and I'll do a video about this in the future, is a counting breath. So as you breathe in, you count up to four, and then as you breathe out, you count to four. And what this does is it kind of just makes it easier to stay balanced and stay focused. What you can actually do is you can pay attention to each number. So as you're counting, one, two, three, four. But you can also pay attention to the space between each number in the same way that as you're listening to me now, you can pay attention, and I'm deliberately pausing, you can pay attention to the space between each word. Now, when you do that with your eyes closed in meditation, in the same way you can start to notice the space between each thought, then it means that you're starting to practice the art of being present in stillness. Because just like fish, you know, they get your attention and off you go. You look, oh, there goes another one. But the more you just sit back and say, okay, here comes a fish, but I'm not going to give it any attention. I'm going to notice what's around it. I'm going to notice what's behind it. I'm going to notice what's supporting it. Using the ocean analogy, you start to pay attention to the water and not the objects within the water. So this is one way of starting to meditate. And rather than fighting the mind, banishing the mind, punishing the mind, hiding the mind, ignoring the mind, battling with the mind, all these things, you just accept it. You just say, okay, look, there's going to be thoughts, and that's okay. Because you can't fight the nature of your mind. Ultimately, you can transcend your mind, and that's the true meaning of, you know, the stillness beyond the mind, which is your true nature. But until you're there, the best thing you can do, and this is great preparation for whatever comes next, is learning to be in the stillness no matter what level you're at. So if you're doing a mantra, you use the mantra, but you also notice the spaces between each sound. If you're doing the breath, you notice the space on the inside, the stillness. These words and space and stillness, they're just words, but hopefully what you can do is find out their true meaning by sitting within them, okay? Sitting within the space, sitting within the stillness. I'm doing this again, and it's all about the heart, you know, because the heart just accepts. So when you meditate, if you're going, oh man, my mind is, I need it to be quiet, you're not accepting what's there. So you're actually not really meditating. You're judging, you're contrasting, you're comparing. Last time I was stiller, my expectation is my mind should be still. No, all of these things are actually the mind kind of creating a loop. So when you sit in the heart and you literally just go, I'm just going to accept whatever's in front of me. And if I have thoughts, that's okay. Because you know what? Meditation is supposed to be inclusive. You don't lose anything on this journey. You include more of your true nature, of your amazing, beautiful true nature. And so why would you want to reject part of you, like your mind? Oh, everything is fantastic apart from my mind. You know, so people talk about monkey mind and they talk about annoying mind and all these things. Yes, at times it may be a bit hyper, but you've got to look at, well, how did it get into that state? And there's, you know, maybe I'll do a video on what we can practically do to kind of dial it back. But for now, I just want to debunk this myth about what the mind is, what it isn't, and really say, just include it in the experience. There's forms of meditation, like the mantra meditation, specific forms of breathing, where you use the mind as well, that can actually be very powerful, and your mind is actually helping you to go further, to become stiller, So it's definitely not your enemy. It's just a part of you. And the more you can just accept it, there's a saying, resistance is support. So when you accept your thoughts, when you just say, okay, there's a thought there, it's okay, I don't have to burn it or destroy it or ignore it or anything like that, it can just be there. You're not resisting it, so you're no longer supporting it. And then it just dissolves. And going back to what I said, the more you practice just sitting in stillness and noticing the space between the thoughts, then the more you build that relationship between you, the perceiving part, and you, the stillness part, which are one and the same thing. But like I said, you spent many, many years using your mind, and so that's the biggest habit. And when you sit down to meditate, you're starting, it's almost like every day is the first time you meditate, okay? So we're establishing not a new habit, but a new being present, because habits are what happens when something just becomes like you're just switched off, it's just happening, okay? We don't want a new habit, we want you to be newly present every time you meditate and present in the stillness, okay? So you can't still your mind. The true stillness is recognizing the stillness at any level and ultimately identifying with greater and greater states of consciousness until you are at a level where you basically transcend your mind. And transcendental meditation, the art of transcending the mind, cannot be done using the mind. So no mantras are going to transcend the mind because you're using your mind to make them. No visualizations, certainly no imagination, no praying, chanting, movement, none of that is going to help. You need to basically get access to energy that is going to take you further. And that energy is already beyond the mind, which is why it can reveal to you what's beyond the mind, because you basically, by meditating on it, you become it. And this really is getting back onto what is light and sound. So again, if you haven't seen that video, video number one, what is light and sound energy? And that will talk a lot more about these kind of different levels and that side of things. So hopefully I've put your mind, it's a really bad pun, but hopefully I've put your mind at ease so that if you're just starting out or you've been meditating for a while and you're like, oh, I can't get my mind to relax, I can't get my mind to stop, or I'm not doing it right because my mind isn't still. We can put that one to bed now. Your mind is supposed to be moving. It's supposed to have action. It's supposed to have thoughts. It's its nature. And really, you've just got to learn to love it because it's a part of you. And this journey is not about picking and choosing the qualities of you that you think are appropriate for a spiritual person, but actually recognizing that you're perfect, you're beautiful, you are the embodiment of a cascade of love into manifest creation. Just, you're the front edge of amazingness that's behind you, and all I want you to do is to kind of just don't beat yourself up if it feels like, well, my mind should be still. None of that, because trust me, the truth is much, much bigger, much, much simpler. And really, you just got to start relaxing. So that's kind of answering the question about, look, is it possible to still the mind? Short answer, no. Just accept it, love it, integrate with it, be in love with it, and then let go, find the stillness. And if you've got any questions, please get in touch. Easiest way to get in touch is to go to my website, www.pureenergymeditation.com, and just drop me an email. And the next video might be inspired by one of your questions. Thank you.